So if you're visiting with us, we are in the middle of our fall series, and our fall series is called Proclaim the Gospel. And we're just going to get our slide up here. Perfect. Is that me? All right, awesome. Proclaim the Gospel. And that's what we've been talking about for the past several weeks. We're speaking about the gospel of Jesus Christ, and many people have really never heard the full gospel, the full message of the gospel of Jesus. People may have heard different parts of the gospel, but the message in its entirety, very few people know it and fully understand it. And maybe even you may have grown up in church. Hey, I grew up in church. I grew up going to church, but I never fully heard with clarity what the gospel message is. I heard different sermons about Jesus and different things that Jesus did, but never really knew that there was a special message in the gospel for me. And the gospel is a unique body of spiritual teachings. There's nothing like it on planet Earth. I acknowledge that there are other different teachings that are out there, spiritual gurus and great philosophies, but there is nothing like the gospel that mankind has. It is unique in its teachings, it's unique in its promises. The Gospels tell the story of the most influential human being ever to walk on planet Earth, and that is Jesus. And today we're going to talk about the Gospel of Hope. The Gospel of Hope. In Colossians chapter 1, Paul is writing to the disciples in Colossae, and he says, once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's body through death to present you holy in his sight without blemish and free from accusation. If you continue in your faith, established and firm, not moved from the hope held out in the gospel. This is the gospel that you heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant. Paul says that there is a hope that is held out in the gospel. It's like God is holding something out to us, appealing to us, telling us, take hold of this. That's the message in the gospel. You know, the world holds out a lot of hope as well. You know, one of the great hopes that the world holds out is the hope of wealth. And a quick and easy way to acquire wealth is through the lottery. And a few weeks ago, there was a big jackpot. $1.2 billion. Or was it 1.6? See, everybody knows. I mean, they kept telling us that on the news, like every day. Do you know what the jackpot is? And I'm like, yeah, you told us an hour ago. Let me tell you, Rob and I, we got fired up. We were driving in the car and we said, honey, we made a plan. We said how much we're gonna give to the Lord, and we mapped it out. You know, we had great dreams, and we bought two tickets.
two tickets.
We had to scramble around for cash because they don't take debit cards, man, or credit cards. You got to get cash. We're scrambling around. And we held on to those tickets. We didn't really get anything, but just for a fleeting moment there, we had the hope that one day it could be us. You know, in the last fiscal year, the state of New York collected $9 billion in revenue from lottery sources. A lot of people cashed in on that hope, and the state of New York cashed out. What is hope? Definition of hope is a feeling or expectation that something positive is going to happen. That's what hope is. When you look forward to something and you are fired up, you want that thing to happen to you, that's hope. The world holds out the hope of beauty. I'm amazed. Whenever I go to CVS, now CVS is a drugstore. It's a pharmaceutical. When I go to CVS, to get to the pharmacy side, it feels like miles of cosmetic products I have to walk past. I'm like, okay. But women are told that by purchasing this product, and there are quite a few products out there, that you can look more beautiful than you already look. You know, the cosmetic industry in the United States generates $84 billion in sales annually. People don't spend less on the beauty products. They spend more. Because there's this hope that if I get this product, this will do it for me. It's a powerful dream that is being pursued. Here's another hope, the hope of victory. The hope of victory. Right, Reggie? The hope of victory. Good old Eli. It's not over. It's still early, as a friend of mine always tells me. It's still early. You know, there are 1,600 players who play in the NFL. Over 1,600. And each week, these players take the field. They all hope to win the game. They train. They work hard. And they all take the field in the hope that they will win. That they will win the great prize in the NFL contest, which is the Lombardi Trophy, the Super Bowl. Do you know many players spend their whole careers taking the field and they would never put their hand on that trophy? But they take the field in the hope that they will win. Last year, the Giants, 77,000 fans attended Giants games every week. And I'm sure very few of them were late. They get there early. They leave home at 7 o'clock. When does the game start? At 1. But they leave home 7 a.m., bundled up and ready to go. The Giants, the game receipts, they collected $98 million last year from ticket sales. $98 million. In the hope that their Giants team would make it to the Super Bowl, which they didn't. But it's still early in the season, right, Reggie? It's still early. On a local note, we want to acknowledge the great Queens Lightning football team. Queens Lightning football team, we were in the finals of the flag football contest yesterday. And I'm proud of these guys because this is the second consecutive year that they made it to the finals of the church-wide flag football team. We could be proud of these guys. And I know they're a little disappointed that they didn't win. But we have hope that next year, right? Next year will be our year. Right, guys? Why don't we have the Queens Lightning team? How about you guys stand up? Come on, guys, stand up. Let's. Queens Lightning, there we go. Thank you, guys. Thank you, guys. Kevin, shouldn't you be standing? Kevin, can you stand, please? Come on now. All right. We believe in you guys, man. And next year we'll send Denton to help you out. Right, Denton? The hope that's held out in the gospel has very unique features. First of all, it's an appeal from God. In Ephesians 1, Paul, he's writing to the church and he says in verse 17, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. In verse 18, he says, I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints and his incomparably great power to us who believe. You know, he says, I pray that you will know the hope to which he has called you. God is the one who calls us to this hope. It's not an NFL football team. It's not the government that calls us to this hope. It's God. This is an appeal from God. And we as Christians all need to know that hope, which is different from all the other hopes that's being marketed out there. The uniqueness of the hope that God has called us to, every Christian should wrap their minds and their hearts around. In Hebrews 6, in verse 16, the Hebrew writer says, men swear by someone greater than themselves, and the oath confirms what is said and puts an end to all argument. Because God wanted to make the unchanging nature of his purpose very clear to the heirs of what was promised, he confirmed it with an oath. He did this so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled to take hold of the hope offered to us may be greatly encouraged. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain where Jesus, who went before us, has entered on our behalf. He has become high priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. Scripture says that the hope that God holds out for us is an anchor for the soul. You know, there's so many things that affect us in this life. Friends disappoint us. We got challenges on the job. We have financial difficulties. And sometimes we have health challenges. And sometimes unexpectedly we face the loss of someone who we love. And these things affect us emotionally. They affect us deeply. And the Bible says that it is hope that God offers that is an anchor for our souls. You know what an anchor does is it It keeps the ship in place. You know, large ships pull up into the harbor, and basically the tide is always moving, it's always going, and if the captain of that ship wants that ship to stay in one place, he drops his anchor so that no matter where the wind or the waves may try to take that boat or that ship, that anchor keeps it secure. You know, I find that I need an emotional anchor. Okay? I need that. Because the challenges of life, the complexity, the difficulty of life can take me to places emotionally that can be very dark places. And I appreciate times when I myself am feeling discouraged or feeling down, that I can always turn to God and to His Word. And when I turn to God and His Word, it's like I am dropping my anchor into a place where I can be secure. You need that. And God provides that for us in the gospel. The gospel offers hope for our souls. He also says in 1 Peter 1, he says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time." Peter says it's a living hope. It's always alive. It never dies. You know, when you think about babies, no matter what, aren't babies just cute? I mean, black babies are cute. White babies are cute. Asian babies are cute. There's something just cute about these babies, these little creatures. They're just it's life. Just all of a sudden, this life, this new life just kind of comes into this world. Every time I see babies, man, I just have to take a moment and just give them a hug or pinch their cheeks or something. You know, they're a complete distraction to me. And I'm sure to many of you, but it's like, don't you just always want to just hold that baby boy? It's just so adorable because that's life. There's something special about life. You know, last Sunday, we celebrated Mary Dunbar's 90th birthday. I mean, 90 years of living. You know, and she came up here dancing. Life. Praise God for it. It's a gift from God. The gospel holds out a hope, and Peter says that it is a living hope. It never dies. It is eternal. It never fades or becomes obsolete. It's a hope that we take with us beyond the grave. Beyond the grave. You know, material wealth, we're going to leave it right here. All the cosmetics, we can't take them with us. Nor can we take the trophies. But this hope that is held out by the gospel, we take that with us to eternity. I tell you, there is nothing like it that is offered to mankind. And this is the hope that's in the gospel. But those who have taken hold of the hope held out in the gospel must heed some very special messages. There's some very special warnings that we who have taken hold of this hope must heed. And in 1 Timothy verse 6, 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 17, it says, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant or to put their hope in wealth. He says, not to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up a treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of life that is truly life. The Bible says that we should not put our hope in wealth, but in God. Sometimes it's challenging, isn't it? When we live in the most expensive city, and we got Thanksgiving coming up, and we got Christmas coming up, and there's this intense pressure to just get more money so we can buy more stuff. And just this frenetic spend. You know, you turn on the TV for 5 minutes, and what do they tell you? Buy something. And I love some of these ads where they say, you can always save here. But to save, I need to spend. See, I don't get that. But these guys are really good at what they do. They want you in that store so bad. They'll tell you anything you need to hear to get you in. And he says, to command those, not to suggest, but to command those who are rich in this world, not to be arrogant or to put their hope in wealth. When we start talking about money, all kinds of things happen. Some system conks out and everything. It's like, hey, we got to put our hope in God. But it's easy for disciples to think, well, what's God going to do for me today? God don't pay the bills. I do. And we can easily get into this, and it happens gradually, into this mindset where, you know, I need to invest more of my time into making money. And we start it happens very slowly, though. And we start letting go. The excitement that we once had to come to church and to be involved in our purpose, we don't have that anymore. We're more excited about going to work. You know, and when a Christian starts to make habitual decisions to miss midweek, to disregard the importance of having a relationship with God, and to disregard or to devalue the importance of one another relationships, something's going on with you. You know, when someone habitually misses midweek, but they're never late to work, something's going on. It means that you are actually taking your hope, you are divesting your hope in God, and you're putting it somewhere else. And that's what we have to be mindful of. We've got to keep our hope vested in God if we're going to take hold of his promises. Amen? We got to heed these warnings, church, because they're written to us as believers. 1 Peter 3 says, wives, in the same way, be submissive to your husbands, so that if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without words by the behavior of their wives. When they see the purity and reverence of your lives, your beauty should not come from outward adornment, such as braided hair and the wearing of gold jewelry and fine clothes. Instead, it should be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. For this is the way the holy women of the past who put their hope in God used to make themselves beautiful. They were submissive to their own husbands. Now, in the context, the scriptures are speaking about here the relationship with the wife and the husband. But the part that I want to talk about is just the fact that in verse 3 says, your beauty should not come from outward adornment. I think this applies to more than just wives. And now Paul isn't saying don't buy makeup or don't get your hair done. I know some of the sisters are looking at me like, where are we going with this, bro? Where are we going with this one? Just take a deep breath. Paul is not saying don't get your hair done or don't get your nails done. That's not what he's saying. What he's saying is that should not be the only source of your beauty. You see that? He says your beauty should not come from these things. He said it should come from within. You see, there's an inner beauty and an outward beauty. And let me tell you a truth about outward beauty. You ready for it? Are you ready for this? And this is the truth you find in the Bible. It will fade. It will fade. Outward beauty will fade. It won't last. The Bible says it's fleeting. L'Oreal and Maybelline can't help you with your inner character. But the Word of God can. Now, even though many of us think that, I'm talking specifically to the sisters here, and I am, I don't think men can get off the hook. I don't think men can get off the hook, okay? Because in our generation, men have become increasingly concerned about their outward appearance, right? We live in an age where men get their eyebrows done. Now for me, growing up, I only saw one gender getting their eyebrows done in my home, and that was my mom and my sisters. But things have changed, and I have come to accept these things. But when men spend hours online shopping for just the right sneaker, no, not that one, it's this one, just the right sneaker with the right fit, and you drain your bank account just for the privilege of getting a pair of these sneakers. And you walk around with such great self-esteem that you own this treasured possession that you highly value and you wipe clean on a daily basis. But when the plate comes around, you throw in two crumpled up dollars. Have you put your hope in God? Or is it more in your outward appearance? See, these are things, brothers and sisters, we got to wrestle with. This is not between me and you. This is between us and our God who we serve. Because if we stop valuing the hope that God has held out in the gospel, if if we don't keep that value, if it doesn't increase in value, then you know that you are putting your hope in other things. And that's something that we got to be careful of. This is the gospel of hope that's held out for us who believe. And this gospel offers a unique hope. It's a living hope. It's a calling from God. It's the hope of eternal life. It's the hope of an eternal relationship with our Creator. You know, we don't get into a relationship with God when we get to heaven. We're experiencing that right now. And we just continue it when we go over to the other side. And this is a gospel that we as Christians hold out to the fallen world. And if you're studying the Bible, I want to ask you, I want to appeal to you to take hold of this hope that God is offering. If you're visiting with us and there's something about these scriptures that I've read today that is stirring your heart, that is getting you curious, that's the Holy Spirit speaking to you, appealing to you, saying, come and check out the hope that I have for you. This is a gospel that the Holy Spirit is proclaiming to you this morning. You know, the Holy Spirit knew you were going to get here. And he knows exactly what you need to hear. He knows the exact words of encouragement to give to you so that you will make the right choice. This is the gospel that we have believed in, brothers and sisters. This is the hope that we have taken hold of. This is the gospel that we have taken our stand on. Let us grab hold of it and never let it go. Amen.